Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. I have a special show for you today with a very special guest, somebody that's special to me. She may not know it, although I think I've told her many times. She's one of my heroes, and I have very few. She's one of the smartest, gutsiest women I have ever met, and a woman that I'm proud to call my sister-in-law, because women are never exes. When you're sisters for life. And her name is Valerie Heller. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a clinical consultant in New York City for 49 years. She's been working at stopping the sexual and otherwise physical abuse of children. As a grassroots organizer in the 1980s, she spoke out against sexual violence, child pornography, and the sexual trafficking of women. She's a founding member of Voices, Victims of Incest Can Emerge Survivors. She participated in organizing conferences nationwide, did keynote speeches, and participated in many marches for women's rights, including the Right to Choose, the Stop Rape Movement, the Incest Survivor Movement, and more. For the past 3 decades plus, she's been in private practice specializing in trauma, working with adults sexually and otherwise abused as children, working with adult survivors of war-ravaged countries, and women assaulted in their homes. And currently, her work continues consulting on all those topics. And I'm very happy to have her with me because she was at the protest in New York City yesterday. And I've seen so many people say, oh, these women are just protesting because Trump won, which means they missed the message. So I thought I'd call on one of my heroes and one of my genius women friends and sisters, Val Heller. So let me say good morning. Good morning, Valerie.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
It's good to have you on my show.
Good to be here, thanks.
I mean, you're one of the few people that's known me for almost 40 years. But, you know, I was reading, you know, even reading your bio, you know, talking about your keynote speeches. And I remember the speech you gave in Tucson many years ago that actually brought tears to my eyes. And that doesn't happen too often, but you were just like a moving ball of light that day.
Yes, that was at the facility for, recovery, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, that was a very important time in my life. I was, really working hard at helping women and some men who at that time were coming out also as child sex abuse survivors.
Right, and that's something that a lot of people still don't want to talk about.
That's true.
But Val, let's start with the protest yesterday. I know you got to Manhattan. What was it like?
Well, okay, I got to Manhattan bright and early because that's what you do if you're really going to get into the middle of this march and be able to hang for the 8 hours it took to walk just about a mile and a half. So we had to enter the march area on 47th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. Now, as a New Yorker, you know you get there, you don't have much coffee or water with you because you're going to have to be holding everything in.
Right.
So, that's it. I got into the middle of the crowd. At 10:30 in the morning, there were so many people there already that I and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of others stood between 3 or 4 blocks, waiting. And what was kind of wonderful about that part of the experience is you kept seeing the crowd grow. There were pink hats everywhere. Mm-hmm. There were families. This is one of the few marches that I went to from back in the day where there were families with little kids in strollers in the middle of these hundreds of thousands of men and women who were waiting to march down Second Avenue.
That's awesome. So what would you think the percentage of men were there? I mean, I know it's hard to gauge, but was there a good showing of men there supporting women as well?
There was a very large percentage of men at this march as well. I would go as far as to say probably 25%.
That's great.
The marches were men. While we were like standing there, we would be starting to do different chants. And so here's a great chant that was happening. There were women that were yelling out, "My body, my choice." And then the men would say, "Her body, her choice."
Oh.
"My body, my choice. Her body, her choice." And it was awesome because you could hear it, you know, the difference of the men who were finally standing up and speaking out.
That's great. That's absolutely great because, you know, we're looking at an administration of men that are as cavemen in their thinking and misogynist as they could possibly be. So it's really good that the men showed up because it shows that Donald Trump doesn't represent them either.
I think it's really true. I think, you know, and it's also sad. Look, it's not just about gender division and separateness. It's not just about men against women. In fact, this was not a march against Donald Trump.
Good. I'm glad you said that because a lot of people online just see it as a march of sore losers against Donald Trump. And I said, well, you missed the message if that's what you think.
They totally missed the message. This was a march, not against something. This was a march for women's rights, for women's health care, for Planned Parenthood. This was a march for many people of all kinds of, you know, organizations, quite frankly, not just about health care for women, but also for the civil rights of women and men, of immigrants, you know, legal and otherwise in this country. This was a march forward.
That's a great way to put it.
We don't want to go backward. We have fought so hard for our freedoms, and we want to hold on to them.
Of course. I mean, that's the reason that, you know, supposedly our government is in place, you know, for our freedoms. But it surely looks like, and I don't know if you heard Trump's inauguration speech, that fascism is on the docket. I mean, I don't think there was anybody he didn't piss off in that speech. And when he co-wrote it with a white supremacist, Steve Bannon, what do you expect?
Yes, I did hear the speech. I was not able to pay attention to the inauguration. Actually, I was at another march for the inauguration in Pennsylvania. So there was no way I was going to be watching that inauguration, but I did hear about the speech because it's important to do that. It's important to hear what those with whom we don't agree said.
Exactly.
Now, I understand the language that he used in particular when he said, "our people." That statement of "our people," I believe, was coded language for the alt-right or for the, you know, the white supremacist. It was not inclusive language for all Americans.
Right. Well, yeah, he did nothing to try to unite the country. He's still like a crybaby. And even with the size of the protest yesterday, some people are estimating it over 4 million. Not a one bad incident, not one arrest. But, you know, today all you see on TV news is his press secretary crying about how many people attended his inauguration. You know, because obviously he's embarrassed because, I mean, you saw the pictures floating overhead and, you know, it was pretty empty. I mean, I watched it because I unfortunately have to. But this is a man who's, you know, just worried about his ego. Really didn't have much to say about, you know, the fact that people all over the world are protesting him. So I can only imagine what that must feel like.
Yes. Okay. So, and here's what I think, how I think about this. Okay. We have a democracy here in America, which is a liberal democracy. There are many different kinds of democracies, and one type is an autocratic democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sure seems like Donald Trump is interested in having an autocratic democracy. And what would that mean? Well, with a liberal democracy, there are two components that are very important. One is that democracy requires that the people participate in the voting and the elections, right?
Right.
The other part of it, of the liberal democracy, is the liberties that come with the liberal democracy. Those liberties are our freedoms. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion. The freedoms that are guaranteed to us in the Bill of Rights. Now, in an autocratic democracy, you have the people participating in the voting, but you have the autocrat. That means the freedoms of the populace are eliminated or impinged upon and reduced and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important for people to really understand that this march, this was a march for our freedoms. This is a march to protect our freedoms, our freedom of choice, our freedoms to vote. And we know that the voting, you know, needs to really be kept an eye on this country because they're trying to suppress the votes.
Right. I remember, I think.
We want to keep American democracy as a liberal democracy. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It's about liberties. That's what the liberal democracy is about.
Right. And when you have Trump for 18 months talking about pretty much, well, now he even wants to ban certain news people from the press room and ban the freedom of the press and freedom of speech. You know, it's interesting because Madonna had some pretty strong words to say at the march. And right away, the Secret Service wanted to talk to her. But when you listen to what Trump encouraged his followers to do throughout the campaign, there was no Secret Service being called on them. So to me, it's either freedom of speech for everybody or freedom of speech for nobody.
Right. And of course, what we want here in America is freedom of speech for everyone. Here's another issue that I am really like bothered by. And I think that those of us who are of like mind in this way, you know, we want to really think about, it's not okay that he has been demonizing the press for the last 18 months. I mean, I get it. I get the difference between, you know, all the major stations and all the corporate, you know, control over the television and the press and what they have to do. And these people, these journalists, some of them need to, you know, keep their jobs and so forth. I get it, but it's still not okay for it constantly to have now the president of the United States demonizing the press. Why is that? Because that's our freedoms that are being impinged upon.
Right.
It's like, Mr. President, can you find a respectful way to speak, please?
Right. Well, you know, he's demonized entire segments of society. He's demonized immigrants. He's, you know, called Mexicans rapists and thieves. You know, he's made it very clear that he is for the white party. You know, I just see this as the last dying gasp of old white men still wanting to keep America the way it was on the plantation.
I can hear that. I can absolutely hear that. And yes, agreed. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what happens when we start demonizing. In this case, we said the press. But think about this. Well, everybody should just think about it, right? In your homes, at school, in your communities. What did you hear when someone in your family may have said to somebody else, you know, you're worth nothing, you'll make nothing of yourself, you know, get out of my face, I don't want to see you, right?
This
is all language that's demoralizing and demonizing to that individual.
Right.
When that happens repeatedly, over time in a family unit for years, what happens to that kid? Right? That kid grows up, starts going into the school, and eventually out into our society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, male or female, doesn't matter. You get demonized like that as a kid, I don't know. You could become someone who joins ISIS, thank you very much.
Exactly, or serial killer.
No worth.
Serial killer, drug addict. I mean, there's a million ways that kid's going to turn out. None of them good.
Right? And but also, what happens when we sexualize, demonize our children also? I mean, right? What happens to the males and the females? They end up, as sexual objects in lots of different ways out in our society. This is why demonizing is really not a good way of speech.
Right. But now we have a bully in chief who's pretty much demonized everybody. Yeah.
Right.
Muslims, this and that. You know, Gloria Steinem said that if they call for a Muslim registry, we should all register as Muslims to make it ineffective. And she was demonized. She was demonized for saying it.
That's right.
So it still seems like they want to shut women up. And, you know, I saw it, you know, Ashley Judd. I mean, there were so many good women that were out there. Even Cher was out there speaking.
Yes.
And when you look at the comments, you see the misogyny and either the hate or the fear of women in the post. And some of those posts are from other women.
I know that some of the posts are from other women. And I know that a lot of other women have said, oh, wait, but they don't, that crowd, that group, the Women's March didn't include me or doesn't represent me, right?
Right.
So we as women have to go, okay, wait, what do you mean? Right? Like, we have to, you know, I'm going to say what I'm sure many of your listeners have heard very recently, a whole lot, I hope. We have to be able to sit down in the room with some of the other women who say, hey, you don't represent me, you know, and have a conversation.
Right.
Diversity is about difference. It's not about agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being able to tolerate difference in the same room.
Right. Well, you know, right.
That's what we have to be able to do. I don't know, women who are saying, well, that's not, you don't represent me. I don't represent any other women. Sorry, I represent self.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm really, that's it, you know? And I do have my thought processes, and I do have my belief system. It is true, biologically, I'm a woman, you're a woman. Genetically, that's how that works, right?
Right.
So we are at least same in that way. And, okay, so you like different things than I like, and you think in different ways than I think, and yet at the same time, if the fascist government decides that anyone who doesn't have a penis has to get a tattoo, guess what, women? All women.
Right.
Are going to have to stand together.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you and I are, you know, pretty much we're the same age. So we've kind of grown up with the same protests, the same authors, the same writings, you know, the Cinderella Complex, Erica Jong, you know, Feel the Fear and
right.
Do It Anyway. And what I think is part of the problem, which I've discussed with younger women, is the program mm-hmm. that other women are your competition or your enemy. And that's a program mm-hmm. to keep women in their place. Because yesterday mm-hmm. proved when women unite, they can stop the world.
Well, and let me tell you, when there I was, you know, in this crowd of 600,000 people, right, of which I think 75% were women. There were women of every size, every color, every age. There were babies there.
Right. There was 195. There was 195-year-old woman there, and when they asked her why she was there on her cane, she says, "I'm here for my granddaughters."
There you go. There you go. You know, and so it doesn't matter. You know, like I said, if they decide to put a registry of any type together, any type of registry, it's time for us all to stand up. Because if you don't stand up, you're the next one they might be coming for, and there won't be somebody to stand up for you.
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree. And, you know, just the effectiveness of what they did. And you know what? I went to the gym today, and there's this woman I talk to pretty much every day, and she's noticed over the past 2 weeks that I was really very down and out because of this whole election. But today I got in there, and I felt like $1 million, and she was like, "Wow, what are you so happy about?" And I said to her, "I have drawn so much strength from the Women's March yesterday that I feel like I'm going to explode." I said, not only was some of the greatest women I know at all these events, I said, but it was the day my own granddaughter posted her first Equality for Women video news reports online.
Oh, good for her.
I was so proud, Valerie. I can't even tell you. I was like, wow, I did a good job as a mother and a grandmother. And, but I don't just do what I do for my own family and my own grandchildren. I do it for every new baby I see out in the world when I'm out there. You know, so, you know, where does selflessness fit into this picture? I mean, you know, you've got your life. You've had a, you know, a very interesting one. You don't have to be out there on the line, but you were.
Yeah, I do have to be out there on the line because it's true that, okay, I had a very, very difficult, violent childhood. And as a result of that, I have an understanding about what happens when one is left in silence, not seen, not heard, not believed, not respected, not cared about or cared for. I understand, you know, what years of time of that kind of treatment, the impact it has on the human soul.
Mm-hmm.
Our homes are tiny, tiny little pictures of what it's like out in our communities. So if we isolate our communities, if we isolate the members of our society in different ways, we are going to be creating harm. Not only to those whom we disrespect, but to the many lives that they touch, say, over time.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We bring people up with disrespect, and, you know, one third of them are going to grow up to be abusers. One third.
Wow.
Of males who are abused in childhood, who are disrespected, who are talked down to, who are kept in chains in one way or another, will grow up and will continue that violence.
Exactly, until somebody steps in somewhere down the genealogical line to put a stop to it.
Yeah, but look at all the broken souls.
I know.
Because that man, that young man, that teenager, that 30-year-old, you know, that 20-year-old young man person was once a one-day-old baby infant boy. You know, and quite frankly, you know, pure. I mean, we are all born, I believe very deeply, good and pure.
Mm-hmm.
Pure meaning innocent. You know? And then we get out into our societies.
Right.
And we are responsible for what our societies do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, now as the individual who's responsible for what my society, my community, my neighborhood, my city, my nation is going to do, I have to get out and I have to march the 8 hours to go a mile and a half.
Right.
Right? Okay, and to say, hey, it's not okay. We had a great chant that I was participating in yesterday. It goes like this: say it loud, say it clear, immigrants are welcome here. say it loud, say it clear, immigrants are welcomed here. And we were just shouting that like crazy down the streets of New York City.
That's fabulous. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, that's New York City. You know, they're so liberal, this and that. But this was going on not just throughout the country, but throughout the world yesterday. They said this was a history-making protest, the biggest one in history.
Correct. Okay. And it was New York City. And it is about being liberal because liberal means liberties.
Exactly.
Liberal is not a bad word. Liberal means liberties. And we are fighting for our liberties.
Well, that's the best way to say it because I've seen so much distortion on this on the protest online that I was stunned. And I mean, even Jenna, you know, my granddaughter's little video, she made it very clear how distorted it is by presenting facts and figures that she researched herself.
Right.
So, and it made it very clear that
that's another very important part of it. Okay, it's a really, really important part of it. And you know, and kudos to I think it was on CNN, one of the pundits that are always there. I'm sorry, I really don't pay attention to mainstream media very much. But I caught a quick little something. And what he was saying was, okay, listen, you don't have to believe us that these pictures about, you know, the inauguration crowd are or are not correct. What you can do, everyone out there, what you can do is, because you have a tiny little computer in your palm now,
right.
Google it. Take a look at the photographs. You don't have to believe the main media, but get on Google, research it yourself.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
Critically decide for yourself.
All right. Well, you know, it was funny, Val, in the 18-minute video that Jenna did, she held up her laptop three times, and she said exactly what you just said.
Yeah, right?
You got the world at your fingertips, stop posting pictures of your cats, and do some research.
Right.
I told her, you might have been a little condescending, but it was your first time out. But we'll, between her mother and me, we'll try to temper her down a tad. Well, you know, everybody puts down the millennial generation, and I happen to think they're fantastic. You know,
I think they're fantastic too. And okay, so I'll just tell you what one of the things that I did when I was at the march yesterday. I wore one of my, a little overcover kind of vest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a collection of protest march buttons. Spanning 36 years.
Wow.
And I had them pinned to the front of my vest, to the back of my vest. And I had so many that I had this strip of cloth, and so I made like a band that went around my neck and hung down. And there I am marching with my friend Patty, and I've got people amongst this crowd where you can't even spread your arms, the crowd is so thick. They're like, wow, look at that button collection. And can I read your button? Can I read your button? I'm like, sure.
All right.
You know.
No, that's pretty awesome. But, you know, to
me, the millennials were like, wow, you know, they don't even have buttons like this so much anymore.
Right. That's like a thing of the past. I know. But I did see a bunch of millennial girls, and I posted the video. They had contacted each other from different parts of the country over Skype and practiced a song that they wanted to sing together when they met up in New York.
Far out.
And I posted that. That's on my personal Facebook page because I think it's awesome, and I love the millennial generation. Now, here we have a generation that, for the most part, they seem to be born without any of the programming sticking to them. You know, they look at, you know, prejudice against gays or blacks or this. They can't understand it, okay? It doesn't compute to these young people. So you could see the powers that be, you know, the last of the barrel of the baby boomers in office just trying to promote the white male agenda, how threatened they are by these millennials because they're constantly slamming these kids.
I know. Okay. And I think that's really unfortunate because here it is, right? So look, I'm standing here. I happen to be looking at a couple of my buttons right now. I'll have to post my vest online, and you'll get to check this out. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, but when I read the buttons, you know, here's one that says, ready for this, everyone? Here it goes. Porn is the theory, rape is the practice. Now, that's 140 characters. Scott can fit in a tweet, right?
Right.
So just, and right, we had buttons back in the day, freedom from sexual violence. Let's build a secure environment, right? Mm-hmm. These are, you know, just buttons, right? But these were the phrases that we would hold on to, right?
Right. Well, right? Yeah, today everybody just does them in T-shirts. Which I think is just
right.
as effective.
That's exactly right. Right. That's right. I saw a number of T-shirts. That's really true, right?
Right.
So I think the millennials, and it's, hello, we're the seniors, right?
Right.
You know, we're more than twice their age. We're the seniors. Okay, it's part of our responsibility. These kids grew up in a very different kind of technological world than we did when we were back in the day.
Right.
And now, and I have them in my office, you know, people come in to talk to me all the time. And now they come into my office and they're asking these kinds of questions like, what do I do? I don't know how to, well, what am I going to, where's my passion? What do I want to do with my life? Right? They haven't had certain type of guidance.
Right.
You know, that we've had because we didn't have all the technology. We had time to read a book and to think about things and to talk and to communicate, right?
Right.
That's not going on so much anymore.
No, and now it's our job as matriarchs to give back, to teach the younger generation. That's the benefit and beauty of being an older woman, is to teach the young.
Well, that's also why many of us got out there. You know, my 77-year-old friend Barbara, what are you kidding? She was in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
77 years old. And she and I have marched many, many, many marches. And she had to go. She said, I have to go, Val. I said, you go there and I'll go here.
Right.
You know, you have to stand up and you have to show up. And you have to not give up the fight. Oh, hi, Bob Molly.
Right. And I just, my job is to cover it all and not miss too right. many tricks. Val, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Val Heller and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Valerie Heller. And yes, there is something wonderful about the name Heller, which is why I never gave it up. Val, I was given a lecture. I was given a lecture on 9/11 truth, and somebody in the audience came up to me and said, "You do know that your name Heller means light bearer, don't you?"
No.
And I guess in German, that's what it means, bearer of light. So, you know, another reason I wasn't given the name up, because I kind of got stuck on it. And it's nice that there's a whole lot of other little Hellers raising hell. Some of the things that people are noticing, and I'm noticing it myself, and you know, I've always been into body language and seeing people in a different way than the average person does, is the body language of Melania Trump.
Okay.
Her husband abandoned her twice during the inauguration. He just left her by the car and walked in the building. She stood there looking lost until Michelle and Barack Obama walked up to her, put their arm around her, and ushered her in the building. And then he left her again. And it just seems to me that whenever she has something to say, she has to glance her eyes at her husband, almost as if looking for permission. And then when I watch them dance My Way, which was crazy because it does open up with, and now the end is near. and as I faced my final curtain, and I was like, oh, please, this should only be. How she pulled her upper body away from him. How she avoided even a kiss on the cheek. The fact she doesn't want to move into the White House. You know, some people have postulated that she might be a Russian handler. She might be his handler. I'm not sure on that yet, but I'm going to keep looking for that. To me, she just seems like a possession of his that can only breathe when he tells her to. So to me, I see a lot of signs of abuse on different levels. And since this is your specialty, I did want to ask you what you think. What have you picked up about her? Because you did say some women in the crowds had signs saying free Melania.
Yes, and that was true. There were women, there were signs at the march, at the Women's March, that read free Melania, which would, of course, go to exactly what you're speaking of. I did not watch the inauguration, but over the, 18 months of this election campaign, my response and reaction and comments that I've made about the women surrounding Trump, respectfully, women, they all look like Barbie dolls.
Right. They all look the same.
When I say that, yes, of course, considering, the amount of work and the work that I do with mostly women and some men who were sexually abused in childhood and or who are victims of, family violence, I do as well pay a great deal of attention to body language. What I've noted for Tiffany, as well as Ivanka and Melania, is there generally is a complete lack of emotional expression on any of their faces.
Right.
Tiffany actually has most of it, quite frankly. She has more emotion showing in her face than the other two women.
But she doesn't live with Trump. She was raised by her mother. That's the difference. She lives with Marla Maples.
That's exactly right, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if you look at her body language, she is a lot more relaxed and more comfortable, relaxed in her body.
Right.
So look, we have to also, because of the work that I do and have been doing forever and will continue, I'm aware that I bring my own bias, if you will, my own filter and my own mechanism of sorting and screening through things. And it does cause me to go, wow, I wonder what's going on in this woman's life.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. I felt the same way.
Right? Okay. So, when I heard, the president, I like being able to say the president because I don't like saying his name.
Right.
When I heard the president refer to his daughter as a piece of ass, I'm like, all right, there's a problem in this family.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I say that? I say that because no man, no father, no brother, no uncle, no priest, no anyone,
right,
to be calling a woman a piece of ass.
Let alone a father.
Right. And so if that language is tolerated, then the children in that family had to get used to that language. If they had to get used to that language, then we have sexualizing occurring. If we have sexualizing occurring, then we have objectification occurring.
Mm.
If we have objectification occurring, then we have dehumanization occurring. if we have dehumanization occurring, this being is now an object with no
right. Right.
Okay? So that's where my mind goes.
Right. Well, you know, the younger one, Tiffany, during the campaign when she got up on stage, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the whole world did. When Donald Trump went to kiss her, she pulled away.
Mm.
And that video went viral.
Oh, see, yeah, I didn't see that, but okay. Well, and so, you know, if I was being brought in to consult on the situation, you know, within my professional capacity, you know, yes, I would be very concerned.
Mm. Now, you know, when he came out with what he had to say in that video about, you know, his lust over a married woman when his new wife was pregnant with his son, and how he wanted to grab her by the you-know-what, when they asked Melania about it, she sheepishly defended him, but when I saw her in the interview with him sitting right next to her was when she said, it was just locker room talk. You don't know my husband. He's a good man.
Right.
I mean, it was so staged, and I just sensed the fear around her of saying or doing the wrong thing. And how could she write that off as just locker room talk?
And what do we know? What do we know about how do we talk to battered women? How do we talk to women who have been sex trafficked? How do we talk to women who grew up in the environment of sexual abuse and then are still within the presence of their abusers? How do we speak to the adults who were objectified and sexualized in these ways? Well, what we do professionally, right, and quite frankly, even in law enforcement, what they do is they do not interview any of these people in the presence of the other one who is probably the perp.
Right?
We make it a point to not ask kids who are beaten or raped, you know, who have broken bones or who somehow have gonorrhea of the throat. No one can understand how a kid gets that.
Right.
We don't interview them in front of the man who they think did this crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we interview battered women, we don't interview them in the presence of the husband who just blackened their face or broke their bones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the press, you know, or, you know, asks and interviews anyone sitting right next to he, that man who has that seat in the people's house,
right,
you know, any of those women are going to respond, I think, not with complete freedom.
No, of course not. And you could see it. You know, but it's interesting what you said because, you know, it makes sense to me when you said looking at them, they have a lack of emotional expression. I was watching the other night, I don't know, maybe on YouTube. I think it was Barbara Walters in interviewing Ivanka Trump, his favorite daughter. I feel sorriest for her, okay? And even watching her playing with her kids, talking about her father, there was absolutely no emotional expression. Like a zombie almost. And I'm like, am I the only one that sees this? Am I going nuts? You know?
Right. No, I don't know that you're the only one who sees it, but I think, and it's also very necessary, again, partly because of my upraising, right? And then my professional work. It's like, okay. And we have to pay attention that it is true that there are women of different cultures, right, who actually have more or less emotional emoting of expression and affect, you know, in public.
Right.
They've been raised possibly, you know, in the culture that you don't show that, right? So we can't necessarily conclude, you know, that every woman who is stoic, right, and not showing emotion is sexually abused or a victim of something or another.
Right.
Okay? So we have to keep a cultural perspective in mind while we also take a look at behavior.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you're pointing to is you're talking about observing a pattern of behavior.
Right. I mean, right? We're not diagnosing them as... Right. We're not doing a diagnosis here or making an accusation. We're just reflecting on what we see, what we know, and especially you, what you've worked your whole life on.
Right. Right. So, yes, it has raised my concern at times. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, we might never really know what has gone on in that family's house. What we do know is the man, right?
Right.
And his pattern of behavior.
Right.
And his lack of ability to tolerate frustration and to make space for another human being, say. He can't do that. You know, his pathology, and he is very narcissistic, there's no question about that. You know, his inability to tolerate any level of frustration, you know, is not just in the public eye. It's not only happening in politics. It has happened in his business world, I am sure. And no doubt it has also occurred or happened in his private personal life. It certainly has happened in his marriages. He was married when Mala got pregnant. Hello.
Right.
I mean, what's with men who go into, not all men, some men who go into politics who still can't keep it zipped?
Oh, hey.
Are you kidding me?
I agree.
Check out Bill Clinton, right? From what I understand, Bill Clinton was ogling Melania, or maybe it was Ivanka, during the whole ceremony of the inauguration.
I know, I saw that, and everybody was commenting how pissed off looking Hillary was.
Okay, so here's what I think. I love Hillary in her own right, because she's one of us. You know, she's a woman who from way back in the day, you know, worked for women and children's rights, period. I want to begin there with her history. But when she lost, there were things about her campaign, plenty of things to talk about. But I think very strongly there are five white men who took this woman down. And one of them was her husband.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the new president. One of them was Julian Assange. One of them was Vladimir Putin. And one of them was, Comey from the FBI. Five white men took this woman's presidency out of our hands.
Right. No argument out of me. Listen, I was rooting for Bernie Sanders the whole time. But
I'm a Bernie fan too, but Hillary's in my camp too.
Right.
Because that woman has fought for women and children's rights from way back in the day. Now, she bought into some political stuff. I'm not saying she's not a centrist. She is. I'm not saying she's not a hawk. She is. I'm not saying I'm completely happy with some of the stuff that she's done. But five white men stood in this woman's path, and as far as I'm concerned, they took a grandmother and they kicked her to the curb.
Right.
Now, what's up with that?
Well, it's that misogynist, like I said at the beginning of the show.
There you go.
They say this, they have now, you know, a lot of commentators, I'm not the only one, I mean, I read everything, say that this is the oldest, whitest male cabinet in history. And a lot of people have written, good writers that I've respected, that this is like their last gasp to keep white male supremacy alive, and they want to take us back like 200 years. That's another reason women were out in the streets yesterday.
Yes. And it's not going to work.
Well, women do outnumber men in this country. I just don't understand.
Women do outnumber men. That's true. And you know what? 99% of Americans are blended. We are mixed races. We are biracial. We are immigrants, right? 99% of the Americans. And so we're going to rise up and we're going to hold each other up in the process. And we're going to protect those who need to be shielded from anyone who tries to target segments of our society.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
I mean, that's what women do.
We tend and mend. That's our job. Yeah. We tend
you
to
know,
mend.
You know, I mean, we're mothers, right? We're mothers and we're mother bears. Whether we have children or not, we're all mothers.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, I've really got a lot of hope. I've talked to a lot of men, you know, online, offline, who were very impressed with what women accomplished yesterday and very happy. So I don't want people to think that these nasty people are in the majority, or the majority of men are Donald Trump's, because they're not. And correct. To me, if I was a man, I'd be super insulted. I'd be insulted right. by what comes out of this guy's mouth. And not want
well,
to be clumped into it.
Here's another sign that we saw at the march yesterday that a man was carrying. Real men don't brag about sexual assault.
Wow, that's a good one. Well, yeah, here we have, you know, I saw a good meme that said, you know, usually sexual abusers are not allowed to live in public housing. And now here we have Trump moving into the White House with rape cases against him, 13 women against him on right. sexual harassment, another case of sexual harassment. And yet, right. you know, his type of man thinks this is some kind of a thing to brag about, like it's some kind of conquest and that it's A-okay to treat women that way.
Right.
And, you know, that old way of thinking, that's got to go.
And the best way for it to go, I think, is we have to speak clearly, without exaggeration, and specifically about what it is we're saying. You know, it's very interesting. Yesterday, I heard an interview on one of these programs about the marches. And some women from the Hispanic caucus for Trump or something were being interviewed. Hmm. And it's really interesting because she's was saying, you know, I'm not into man bashing. And, you know, that interview continued. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, wait. So as the interviewer is talking about, let's say, the sexual, you know, assault or, you know, way of speaking that people are objecting to about Donald Trump. And the Hispanic woman is saying, well, I'm not into man bashing. I'm like, isn't it curious that if we point to a behavior right. that's not okay in our society, that it gets generalized all of a sudden into man bashing.
Right.
But if that man, you know, drove the car drunk and killed the family, we wouldn't generalize that into all male bashing, would we?
Of course not.
Right? So only in a certain subject matter. Oh, why is it that when we keep pointing our fingers to the fact that there is sexual abuse still ongoing in our society in the different ways in which it exists, that very specific type of behavior, when, you know, pointed out, it's turned into something else.
Right. Well, that all feminists hate men, which is so crazy.
Right.
I don't know how anybody
right.
could say that. I mean, I consider myself a feminist and I love men. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes I wish I didn't, but I do.
Right.
So.
Right.
So but, you know, these are programs that people that won't do the homework will just believe the slogan, and it becomes their reality.
I think that that's very true, and I think that's very sad, but I think, unfortunately, that's very true. And that is true in our society, and by the way, that crosses every economic and race barrier that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are people who are wealthy who get hung up on their phrases. There are people in the middle class, in the working class, in the poverty class. There, you know, people, I think, get lazy in their brain.
Well, that obviously didn't happen to me or you. Val, I do want to tell you, this has been a very quick and very exciting interview, and I'm really thankful that you found time today to join me. I know you're working on a book, so when that's ready, I'll absolutely get you back on the show.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for doing this.
It's my pleasure. Now, for listeners out there, if you want to contact Val, you have issues in your life going on and you might need some counseling, I'll put her email here. It's vheller@me.com. I want to thank my audience for listening and supporting the show, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.